Welcome back to the clubhouse here in the McAdoo studios. Kyle Bailey, Danny Noakes, now joined by our good friend Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Chris Coleman TSL. He joins us here live in the McAdoo studios every Friday at 5:05. How are you, buddy? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. How are you?
I'm well. I'm doing well. Doing well. I've not been arrested or hit by a car or fired since the new year turned.
Still so 6 feet above, right?
Still got some time for all three of those, but nothing's happened yet.
Yeah, I just got to say, though, Chris, thanks for filling in for Bimbo the other night for the Tech Tailgate Show. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun on that, especially considering we won the game.
I was going to say, lead up.
We were all wrong about everything. We were sitting there like, man, Tech has to keep this in the low 50s to have a chance.
Right.
Sure enough, they got it to 70 and won the game.
Let's go. How about that, by the way?
Yeah.
That was one that I hated that I couldn't get back for. I was sitting in Boston in my friend's living room, and I was watching it, and I was really the only person in the room that was interested, and I was the only one, just really into this thing. And, I thought, okay, Tech played a great first half, spirited, but they're undermanned, they're young. You know, you got two guys that should be starting sitting on the bench right now, and Ahmed and Chris Clark. I'm thinking, at some point, UVA's talent and depth is going to take over. Then here comes London Perantes in the second half. Bang, 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 bang. I think it was six of seven from the 3-point line.
I think
he is 7 of 9.
Seven of nine for the game.
Yeah. I think 6 of 7 in that stretch, if I'm not mistaken.
Sounds about right.
And then that was the point where I think most of us, myself included, thought, okay, there's the knockout punch. They're going to run away with this thing. It's going to be a 20-point win. But not at all. I mean, that Tech team, they took the punch and they kept on fighting, and it was really impressive.
That was the most impressive part, I think. I mean, everybody knew UVA was going to make a run. That's what UVA does. I mean, UVA,
they've done it to everyone.
They've done
this
it
year.
To everybody. They've just put a run on everybody, and it's not just this year. They're known for making runs. Like the last 2 or 3 years, I think they even have a saying up there, although I'm not exactly sure what it is. But yeah, I mean, they're patented for their 15-3, 16-0 runs, things like that. The key is Tech was able to make a couple of 3-pointers during that stretch, so it wasn't too bad of a run. But what was most impressive to me is Virginia Tech was able to fight through that run. You know, that they didn't give in, and they came back and went on a run of their own, and that they turned a 4-point deficit into an 11-point lead.
In the post game press conference, when David Teal asked Buzz about that run specifically, saying that that's usually a run that not only buries Virginia Tech, but that usually buries a lot of teams, and that's going to continue to bury a lot of teams, runs that UVA makes in games like that. But it was so – Zach Ledet was pretty much the guy that kept him in there, because he hit – Perantes hit four threes, I think, all in a row, and Ledet then answered with at least two.
Yeah.
And that was – that those two threes right there were really big – momentum shifters, because Ledet is just not a guy that you rely on to shoot the three.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think that's on the scouting report now, that he's not a guy you want to leave out there wide open, because he can make the shot. I mean, he's not going to go Justin Bibbs on you, but for the most part, but he can make that shot. I think Tech's defense, outside of the first 5 minutes of the second half, I thought Tech's defense was very impressive. I think every time Perantes tried to get down the baseline, he was stopped, frustrated. He had no passing lanes. The Hokies did a great job getting their hands in the passing lanes and denying UVA those angles that they're always seem to be able to create. UVA came into that game, I think, number one in the country in offensive efficiency.
Yeah, they did. And that was one of the things that I told Danny when you and I talked the day before that game on this show. And that doesn't make me some basketball wizard. I just said, Tech has to commit every ounce of its energy on the defensive end of the floor and hope the shots fall on the other end. And it happened exactly that way. I mean, Zach Ledet is the perfect example. That guy's not going to knock down three clutch threes in the second half of big games the rest of the season. He's just not built that way. But they committed that much energy and focus and attention on the defensive end, and then the shots fell on the other end.
Yeah, exactly right. I think UVA, when you look at them, I know everybody, if you just look at their total numbers, people assume that they're a better defensive team than offensive team, but then you're taking out pace. And when you look at the efficiency numbers, they are a better offensive team than they are a defensive team.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and actually this year it's not even all that close if you just look at straight up offensive and defensive efficiency. I think they're first offensively and 72nd defensively, which is a little bit lower than where they normally are. They're not as good as they were last year without Justin Anderson and who was the other guy they lost? I forget his name. He was a wing type player.
His name is escaping me.
Yeah, but those two guys were key cogs to that team. Still though, very good team. I mean, look what they've done to the competition this year. Cal's a good team. They beat Cal. They smacked around Notre Dame, who's always a very good program. They beat Villanova. I think that's Villanova's only loss, right?
16-point win over West Virginia.
16-point win over West Virginia, and that's, I believe, West Virginia is still their only loss. So that's still a very good UVA team that Virginia Tech beat.
Yeah, they're going to – I mean, it's not going to get – they – to me, are probably the favorite to come out of the ACC right now. North Carolina being up there as well. But they get Georgia Tech next, and then Miami, which are not going to be too easy.
It's a much better Georgia Tech team. And right. By the way, just so no one here is pulling the hair out, I just when you asked for the name, that's when I couldn't think of it. Akil Mitchell is who you were thinking of.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It was Akil Mitchell, who, by the way, was with the Houston Rockets first, and now I think NBDL with the Rio Valley Vipers or something. Yeah. I don't know. Right. Anyway, you're right, though. I mean, and Georgia Tech's not going to be – I mean, Adam Smith went off for 30 points the other night, didn't he?
I think he had 20 in the game before that, too.
Yeah.
So Georgia Tech has improved, it looks like. It's still early. They're losing close rather than getting blown out.
Right.
That's a step in the right direction. And, you know, Miami is a very good team this year. So here's the impressive thing about the win over UVA is they've gone 16-2 each of the last 2 years in the ACC. That's 32-4. Over their last, and plus, they won their first ACC game this year. So that's 33-4 over their last 37 regular season ACC games. I mean, even Duke and Carolina in their prime never pulled off runs like that.
No.
I mean, what UVA has done the last 2 years has been really impressive.
It has been. And I guess right now, if you're a UVA fan, we've kind of dismissed the notion, and this is a little bit of a tangent here, but we've kind of dismissed the notion that Tony Bennett's going to jump to Wisconsin at season's end, right?
I've heard if he did make that move, it wouldn't be for basketball reasons. It'd be to get close to his aging parents and things like that.
Which is no small thing.
Well, it's no small thing, but you know, the people I've talked to feel very confident that he's not going to make that move.
And so do I. You know, I've said all along, and it's not because I know Tony or because I have great inside sources in UVA. It's that everything that I've heard, and the people that I do talk to that do have good inside sources in UVA, tell me that he's going to stick around. But that kind of run is indicative of a guy whose style travels, right? It works
absolutely
everywhere. And Wisconsin fans would love to have it, but I think he's sticking around in Charlottesville for a while. So what does this all mean? What does this all mean? You beat number 4 Virginia at home. You open the season beating NC State. We're the underdog there against the conference's leading scorer, Cat Barber. What does it mean? A 2-0 start? Does it mean they're much better than we thought they were, or just, you know, the signs of a young team up and down?
Basketball by nature is a game of peaks and valleys, and that holds true for a basketball game and a basketball season. You're going to go on. I mean, Virginia stomped Virginia Tech in the opening 5 minutes of the second half, and probably the last 2 minutes of the game. But Virginia Tech stomped Virginia in the first half, and then on that other huge run they made.
Right.
So it was a game of runs, and the seasons go by as a game of runs. I mean, remember when Virginia Tech won in Cameron Indoor Stadium, and then the very next week they beat number 1 North Carolina in Castle Coliseum. Well, the week before they won in Cameron Indoor Stadium, they lost at Marshall.
Yeah. This is what we were talking about with Keith Welton's in our sports business segment on Monday,
right,
about comparing actually this season to the 2006-2007 season, mm-hmm, where they beat North Carolina twice and Duke at Cameron Indoor. They started out with one game better, I believe, than this Virginia Tech team.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the last Virginia Tech team to make the tournament.
That's right. And, you know, even you go back to that year, the first year in the ACC when they went 8-8 and beat Duke, they lost to VMI during the non-conference portion of play. They lost to Western Michigan during the non-conference portion of play. I think that's a little more similar. That was Seth Greenberg's second year in Blacksburg. That was a young team. Jamon and Zabian were sophomores, just like guys like Justin Bibbs and Jalen Hudson were sophomores. I think that team had one senior in Carlos Dixon, and this team has one senior in Shane Henry. Yeah, I mean, it was a team that, you know, they could beat anybody, but they were also young enough and lacked the depth where they could probably lose to anybody too.
Carlos Dixon, was that the team where, like, they had a Midnight Madness, and I think they played UConn that year with Rip Hamilton and Emeka Okafor, and I think D'Angelo Hall won the dunk competition at Midnight Madness, I think. Is that the same year?
No, this was first year in the ACC.
Was it? Okay.
You were thinking the year before when UConn won the national title, or last year in the Big East.
That's when they had Khalid El-Amin, who looked like, you know, about 30 pounds overweight at all time, right?
Yeah, pretty much. And, you know, about 5 other NBA players on the team.
Yeah. As UConn teams were absolutely loaded. We got Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com here in the McAdoo studios with us. So it doesn't get any easier.
No.
You got Duke tomorrow.
Right.
By the way, you guys are live tomorrow, I believe. Or, Danny,
no,
you're live tomorrow. You're,
no,
you're not? Okay.
No, our next tailgate show is until Wednesday.
Gotcha. Okay. So I apologize for the misinformation there. But, yeah, I mean, Duke on the road tomorrow, and that's, I mean, look, they go down. It's Duke, right? I mean, you got to find a way to slow down Allen and Ingram and Kennard, and they're good. I mean, they're not good like last year good, but this, you go down there and play that team well after his 2-0 start and beating UVA, you might be onto something.
Well, I'll tell you what, Duke at this point last year was not as good as the Duke in March. They
Excellent
didn't start
point.
Playing defense until March.
Excellent
last year.
Point.
I mean, I didn't think they were going to make it past the Sweet 16 last year at the beginning of the tournament. They finally started playing defense in March, and that made them a much better team. Emile Jefferson is a tough loss for him, but at the same time, they're playing a little smaller and they're spreading the court a little more. I don't know if it's helping them defensively per se, but I think it's helping them offensively. Regardless, Duke's going to be a tough out either way. Buzz Williams has played Duke twice, and he's 0-2 against him, but he lost by 5 when they had Kyrie Irving, and then he lost, by like 2 in overtime last year. So mm-hmm. he's been very, very close in his two games. I'm not expecting – Virginia Tech started 4-2 in the ACC their first year in the conference, then went to Durham and lost 100-65. In the game where we never had a chance to win because it was the – I never complained about officiating.
Mm-hmm.
That was the worst officiated game I've ever seen. Jamon Gordon fouled out in 8 minutes. Carlos Dixon had 4 fouls. Carlos Dixon had 4 fouls in 8 minutes. He was well on his way to fouling out in 2 minutes, but eventually Duke tackled him when he was breaking away for a layup, and he hurt his arm and had to leave the game. No foul was called on
it's
Duke.
Amazing.
I remember reading opponents' message boards after that game, and like every fan base in the country had been watching that game, and they're like, "Oh my God, this is the worst officiated game I've ever seen." And it was our initiation into the ACC per se. You go down to Cameron Indoor Stadium. Yeah, your star guard's going to foul out in 8 minutes. That's just the way it is.
Yeah. By the way, did y'all read the Xavier Dowdell piece on Sports Illustrated?
I haven't gotten to it yet.
You haven't got a chance. Check it out. Check it out. Lee Jenkins writes about it. Basically, the story's about it. It's not about It is about Xavier, but it's about the life of an NBA player on a 10-day contract, and it's really interesting.
I bet.
Really interesting. I recommend it to everybody out there, especially Tech fans who really enjoyed the Xavier and Jamon era, as most Tech fans did.
And now we've got the Jarrell Eddy era in the NBA.
Right?
Yeah.
And who now has a guaranteed contract NBA, $350,000. Good for Jarrell. 12 points in his debut, I believe,
Indeed.
Too. Yep. Wolf Blitzer was tweeting about it, which was weird.
He's playing for the Wiz Kids.
Playing for the Wiz Kids. You had Wolf Blitzer tweeting. Like I said that. When I saw Wolf Blitzer tweet about Jarrell Eddy, I said, I bet the odds on that tweet ever happening were astronomical.
Things I never thought I'd ever see.
No, that makes two of us. All right, boys, let's take a break. Still plenty more to get to. We'll continue to talk some Tech hoops as they're 2-0 in league play, getting ready for Duke tomorrow. We'll also discuss Justin Fuente and the Hokies offseason in football as recruiting continues to roll on in spring football. It always gets to us much, much quicker than we think that it will. So we'll talk some offseason football as well. Keep it locked to Super Sports 101.7.